often in preaching and even amongst some circles of devotees, there's questions about knowing the past, knowing what we've been in the past life, and similarly having some idea of what we're going to be in the future. And this isn't something that's new just to spiritualists, but even empiricists, psychiatrists, psychologists have dwelled into the past, hypnotic regression, and on the basis of what people remember, they try to correlate that with historic events, or see if such events, places, dates, persons are verifiable, and then in that way prove that people can actually enter into the recesses of their subconscious and remember what they were in a previous life. And whereas there's some limited success with that type of process, it is limited because it's empirical, and because the memories within the mind, as well as evidences, can be retraced to, if they're valid, to many lifetimes which combine together. And then there are so many other things, impressions within the mind, which don't relate to past lives, but simply to impressions and conditioning. Anyhow, as always, empirical system is flawed in that it's imperfect, and even if sometimes it yields proper results, it's not a basis of real truth. It's hypothesis, sense perception, inference, logic. But for Vaishnavas, the real way of determining the past, as well as determining, envisioning the future, is the perfect form of evidence, which is called Shruti Praman. And that is that we three see through the eyes of Shastra. Is it really important to know what we were in our past lives? Well, Shastra tells us that you see the present and you'll know the past, what you look like, the condition of the body, in other words, how healthy we are or unhealthy are, the type of diseases we have, the type of likings we have, the country we're born in, the language we speak, whether we're poor, rich, and talented, or otherwise. These things are all the reactions of the past. And they give us a certain indication of a past without necessarily drawing a detailed picture that you were such and such and such and such time living in such a country and you did this. That type of power to actually look into time requires transcendental vision. It's not something that persons who are conditioned by the material and energy can achieve. In the way that Krishna also says, Bhavishyani Chabhutani Mamtu Vedana Kashana. He says, I know everything past, present, and future. Why does Krishna know everything past, present, and future? Because Kalasmi, because he's time. Time is one of his potencies. And he's beyond time. He's above time. He's not under the influence of time. And therefore, he has a neutral, impartial, unaffected vision of time. And he can actually see time's influence on all other things, since time has no influence on him. Devotees or sages, transcendentalists, who are similarly situated may also have access. Obviously, their access is more limited. They don't have the same type of unlimited access to time as Krishna does, but by Krishna's grace, they may have some. We see, for instance, when Narada Muni was met up with Megrahi, then he was able to actually show Megrahi what his future would be. Megrahi was able to see the future. In other words, the future was already determined on the basis of the activities that Megrahi was doing at present. And of course that future was able to be changed, and was changed by taking shelter of the instructions of Narada Muni, and Megrahi became a great devotee and then went back to Godhead. And what was Megrahi's past? He was a hunter, he was a killer, he committed so many sins. So this much we also know of the past. Aham tum sarva pap ebyo. We've committed so much pap in the past. That's why we're living in the material world, in Kali Yuga, in Western countries, or any country for that matter. Practically speaking, it makes no difference anymore. They're all places of sin. And that's why we're born in Papa Yoni. That's why we're born in sinful families, because of sins of the past. And what's our future? Like Megrahi, our future is very unpleasant. The fifth canto ends by describing the future of sinful people. However, the sixth canto also begins by describing how that future can be changed. And it can be changed by taking shelter of the process of devotional service. Karmadi nidahati bhakti prabhacham. If one takes shelter of the process of devotional service, one's karma may be changed. One's fate may be changed. And this is the future that we're interested in. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, forget the past, it sleeps. So forget the past. For Vaishnava, the past is irrelevant. Because all Vaishnavas have the same future. We may all have different pasts, and they may all be individual, but our future is the same. That is, that if at present we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, our future is that we're going back home, back to Godhead. Devotees sometimes really question, well, is that really true? And I often find it incredible, or I'm incredulous, the devotees will question Srila Prabhupada's statements, Krishna's statement himself. Jaktvadiham punarjanma naiti mameti. He says, you won't take birth again in this world. Janma karma chmi divyam. If we understand Krishna's transcendental nature, and one understands Krishna's transcendental nature by chanting Hare Krishna, then one can also become transcendentally situated. And can one achieve that? Srila Prabhupada indicated that all devotees can and will achieve it if they seriously apply themselves to the process. It's no mystery. So this is the eyes with which we see time. This is the eyes with which we see the past and the future. We see it through Shastra Chakshus. See through the vision of Shastra. See through Bhagavad Gita, see through Krishna's instructions, through Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and forget about the past. We have hardly enough time to do our bhakti bhajan, to do our bhajan. Living in this world takes so much time, so much energy, whether we're engaged outside and working, or whether we have to maintain a temple by distributing books and other methods. It's a full-time job. It leaves us barely minimal time to chant rounds, listen to a class, and read a book. But if we perform those activities seriously, with determination, at the present, then that present will actually change the momentum of our past activities, and it will determine our future. And people will say, you know what you're going to be in the future? Yes, we know what we're going to be in the future. It says in Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Pukara Sadma Shukarta Viksha, Laksha Vitesha Suravira Vipalayanta. We're going to this Chintamani Dham, where there are Kalpa Rikshas, where there are desire trees everywhere, Sarabi cows, Lakshmi Sahasya Satasam Brahma Sevimana, where Krishna is playing the flute and he's surrounded by thousands and thousands of Lakshmis. Gopis. Shastra says, Shastra is anavritina shabdam. Shastra is sound vibration that is liberated. So it can also tell us what our future is. Now the question is whether we avail ourselves with our future. We have the opportunity to determine what we're going to be and where we're going to go. Question is whether we want to do that. Why should we care about what was in the past, something that we can't do anything about anyway? And most of the people who are interested in these things, they're not interested in changing their lives and making the future different than the past. But we know what the past is in general, Papa Yoni, and we know that the future is also waiting for us. So Krishna just tells us, Mashuchaha, don't worry. Therefore, with that determination and conviction, we should practice Krishna consciousness. And as Srila Prabhupada says, go back home, back to Godhead. That's the future.